Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's August 6, 2013. I'm Jimmy Carboni from the Good Beer Seal, and Jimmy's number 43. And we're here with an eclectic crew of New York City beer bar owners and some interesting people from the world of beer, including we've got the launch of this guy, Sloop Brewing from Poughkeepsie, New York. It's their first time pouring beer in Brooklyn. You guys say your names, because one of you guys' name is Adam.
I'm Adam.
Adam, who's the other guy?
I'm Justin.
You're Justin. So, we're going to talk more about it, but first we're going to raise our glasses and say cheers to the Brooklyn launch of Sloop.
Cheers.
Thanks for
cheers,
coming out.
Cheers.
We got Ben Wiley. He and his brothers own a couple bars, including Mission Dolores and Bar Great Harry, and you guys have a new bar that just got the Good Beer Seal last week.
That's right, yeah.
Owl Farm.
The Owl Farm at 297 9th Street in Park Slope. We're happy to announce that we got the Good Beer Seal. was it last week?
Yeah, just last week. And you brought your manager along, too.
Actually, yeah, we have Stephen Baird, who is definitely the head honcho of at Owl Farm.
Sitting hey, right Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for coming, and thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. We know them here as Union Beer. They distribute some of the best craft beers that we know of. And if you go online, you can learn more about where to buy your favorite beers and things like the Beer Cloud. And there's a great test online, too. So, hey, we're back. We've spent the weekend in Cooperstown for the annual Belgian Comes to Cooperstown Festival with our buddies at Omegang Brewery, and it's a wild weekend. I just got back about 2 hours ago. We've met so many great friends up there. In addition to Omegang, there's this awesome, food culture. Our good friend Paul Dench from Violet Hill Farms bought a farm up there 2 years ago, and we did a pig roast last night. Another great friend from Brooklyn, Elizabeth Shula, who was at Salty in Brooklyn. She's up there now running a little restaurant at the golf club in Otsego, and she did a pig roast. And had a lot of fun up there, but every year we raise our glass to that. And the last two shows of August will be the recordings that we did up there. We met some really great people. But on the home front, what's going on in beer in New York? Well, first of all, there's two things happening on August 11th, and I'm torn because I can only be at one. First, Heritage Radio Network. It's their great fundraiser, the Hawaiian Barbecue. That's going to be here at Roberta's. You got to check that out. And we're part of this thing, Hudson Rising, hudsonrising.com. This weekend will be in Beacon. And that's how we met the guys from Sloop. We went up, let's talk about Sloop. We were up in Beacon about 2 months ago, and there's a great thing, the Corn Fest, which Pete Seeger founded. And they said, if you're going to do beer at your event, you guys have to meet Sloop. And that's all that I knew, and we reached out to you. So, tell us how you guys got started and why the people in Beacon like you so much.
Well, I guess it started when I used to go to the Beacon Farmers Market. I still do all the time. And I asked the market manager down there, what would it take to sell some of our homebrew beer down there? He said, well, you probably have to get a license or two, figure it out. So I was like, all right, I'll figure it out. And it turns out you have to start an entire brewery, soup to nuts. And that's what we did. So we started selling beer at the farmers market. People seemed to like it, so we started doing a few other farmers markets. And from there, we went into some bottle shops, stores, bars, restaurants. Now we have kegs. We upped the system from a 20-gallon batch to a 3-barrel batch, and that's pretty much how we got started.
And you guys are in Poughkeepsie?
Yep, right in the city of Poughkeepsie.
And what do you have? Just like a loft or a storefront?
Garage.
Garage.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're fully licensed?
Fully licensed brewery. You got the microbrewer's license last year, about a year and change ago.
And have you poured other places in New York City?
We did one event at the Pony Bar. That was for New York City Craft Beer Week, I think. So that was a number of months ago. We gave them a couple of casks. Other than that, no, nothing in New York City. This is the first time in Brooklyn.
So cheers again. This is the first time anyone in Brooklyn has tasted this. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick.
Nice.
All right, thanks
nice.
For bringing your beer. So what beers did you bring?
We're drinking the Red Sea right now. It's a red IPA. And we also brought the Sour Peach. It's a Berliner Weiss, German sour wheat beer fermented with peaches.
And we're also joined by I know him as Craft Beer Coach, but it's Joe Calenda. He's got some cool news to tell you soon. But Joe and Ben Wiley and Steve, what do you guys think about their beer? This is, again, it's called Red Sea.
Yeah, that's the Red Sea over there.
The Red Sea is great. It's got a very nice hoppy bite to it. I'm getting a little bit of citrus.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely,
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's got a really nice malt balance to balance out those hops. I don't know what hops they are, but it's delicious.
All right, good stuff. Ben?
Yeah, like a really hoppy, caramelly beer. I mean, it's actually both of what I like. I love ambers and reds, so it's like you took all the beers I like and just put a bunch of hops in them.
Yeah, definitely.
I like it. Easy drinking, good.
Yeah. The name Red Sea is it's actually the letter C, and we did that because there's all letter C hops in there. There's, you know, we wanted to really showcase American hops, and we wanted to put our own little twist on an IPA, add some amber malt to balance it out, and that's really the beginnings of that beer.
What's the ABV?
It's 6.7.
Okay.
So, Ben, you know, at your great places, Bar Great Harry, Mission Dolores, and Owl Farm, you know, what choices do you make when you're picking beers for the list? Because you always have some outstanding beers.
Well, the one, I mean, I guess one of the fundamental approaches we take is just kind of try to represent as many genres as we can. I mean, each place has a different number of taps, but we always kind of have enough taps to represent all the genres out. So, you know, we like to have, you know, good pale ale, good Pilsner, good IPA. And as the years have gone on and the kind of trends have changed, now we have, you know, genres represented that we didn't back in the day. Like, we always have some kind of a sour up and things like that. But Steven really handles all that stuff at Owl Farm, so he'd probably have a good answer for you.
I do, yeah. I basically just try to create the beer list that I would like to drink and try to be balanced and have as many styles as possible. But, for instance, I always do have an amber or a red ale on tap, so this would obviously feature greatly into that. IPAs, sours, 28 lines, which are the most lines I could ever imagine working with, gives me a lot of flexibility to do things across wide genres or to feature, like, you know, three red IPAs at once, which I do occasionally.
And where have you worked before? Because you seem like you know a lot about beer.
I started as a volunteer at volunteer barback at Mission Dolores about 3 years ago. And before that, I worked at a desk in the accounting department of a finance firm.
Ooh. So what are some of your jobs as a manager? Because you're not, you know, you know a lot about beer, but I know there's a lot of jobs besides picking beer.
Well, I get paid to pay the bills. That's what I feel like. And to manage the employees. Otherwise, I do everything else for free. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you work for free for the things you love.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I like working for these guys a lot. They've given me a lot of opportunities. I'm very, very happy with it.
Well, Steven, like myself, you know, started at the bottom, like in a bar, in a restaurant, you know, volunteering the bar back and stuff like that, and worked his way up, you know, just kind of learned as he went, and I did a lot of research on his own and, you know, really steered Owl Farm in the best direction it could possibly go. But a lot of our employees are like that. Not everybody's like a career bartender. A lot of people come to us with no experience, but they're really nice, smart people, and we train them from the bottom up just like I did, and they end up being pretty good employees.
All right. Well, you know, as you know, last week at Edibles Good Beer, we announced our fifth annual Good Beer Seal Awards, and in addition to Owl Farm, the Proletariat got awarded it, Alewife Queens, Queens Kickshaw, and Cannibal in Manhattan. And I'm missing one or two, and we also brought in a couple of guys from Long Island and Jersey City. Check out goodbrewseal.com. There's a post up right now that tells you all about it. So we got Craft Beer Coach here. We got Sloop, we got Owl Farm, Craft Beer Coach. So, Joe, I met you at an event with, I think it was Beer Week or something. There was Steve Hindy. It was before Saver, right? The Saver.
It was pre-Saver. And
yeah, Steve Hindy and the dude from Dogfish Head, Sam.
The Good Beer Hunter. Preview.
The preview.
And then at Saver.
So you wanted to interview. So what the hell is Craft Beer Coach?
So Craft Beer Coach is it's a blog I've had up and running for about a year and a half now. My perspective is on the sort of the human condition behind brewing, talking to people about their passion or motivation behind being a brewer, owning a brewery, and, you know, bouncing back from setbacks, motivations that you have to, you know, keep you waking up every day being, you know, remaining passionate about your career. So I asked these questions to the brewers That's the format of the interview. And the idea is to start capturing some of this information for everyday people. You know, these are brewers are not glamorous people. They're everyday people, and they, you know, they work hard, and but they're passionate. They don't make a whole lot of money, but they're living their dream. So the idea is to start capturing some of that information from them and turning it into a coaching program. I'm actually a certified life coach. So that's where I come at craft beer from the very individual perspective.
So let's use your skills. So we got the guys from Sloop over here. Let's see you in action. Come on. These guys, what, they make enough? They make just enough beer to give away to their friends on the weekends.
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
So, yeah.
And the rest of the beer they're going to have at Hudson Rising and Beacon.
That's right. You sold us out, by the way.
And the other two bottles they brought here. So they're out of beer for the week. So what how do you coach a
That's
brewery?
Something I would ask them is, you know, tell me about a setback that you've had. And I don't even focus on brewing. It could be in life, you know, just something. I interviewed Yepa of Evil Twin, and he talked about his relationship with his brother. You know, it's kind of strained at times, who is Mikkel of McKellar. So it's really cool to get this backstory and to see that these people, even though we see them as rock stars in craft beer, they really have these struggles outside of the work, just like everybody else. And I'm just trying to capture that essence and show people that, you know, craft beer represents so many positive things.
But what about these guys? Come back to them. So let's talk about
Sloop. Tell us about a setback you've had in getting Sloop up off the ground.
Well, we both recently became fathers, so
that's
devoted.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's devoted a ton of time. Really, just from the brewing standpoint, just space. We need more space. We need space.
Better and better equipment that's more suited for brewing instead of. It's completely fabricated equipment. It's we've got 4 55-gallon drums that were fabricated to do it, and it's plastic conicals. No jackets. It's Justin here.
So how do you deal with
hard at it to the microphone?
How do you deal with having to take some shortcuts? You know, you have this idea of something you want, but you can't get it. So,
first of all, we may take shortcuts, but quality is our number one thing to maintain. If it is a shortcut,
shortcut's a bad word, by the way.
Right. But
sacrifices.
Yes, yeah, sacrifices. There you go. But it's really more or less, how can we not affect the product from a quality standpoint, but also not bankrupt ourselves.
Right.
So there's a happy medium in between there, and you know, whether it be buying used equipment, whether it be borrowing some things that other breweries in the area have, like, you know, Newberg Brewing was generous enough to let us wash our first batch of kegs at their brewery. So sometimes you have to, you know, do a little rooting around and searching for people, you know, and they'll definitely help you out.
Sounds like the same issues we have opening bars.
Yeah, and that's a key lesson. When you know you need help, you go ask for it. Mm-hmm. Just accept that you need help and go get it.
So then we should just include you in all our conversations, right? Yeah.
I'll come every week.
I need to get your number.
I feel better already.
And I had a 150-pound pig on Saturday. Had a 150-pound pig on Saturday. We didn't know what to do with it. Where were you, man? But it all worked out.
You always need that independent person that's not a family member or friend, because they're not going to give you what you want. They aren't going to tell you what you want, what they want you to do. So you need that independent person you can just kind of, you know, pull their ear in.
All right, so now Ben. So they just opened Owl Farm. Well, the thing is, the Good Beer Seal, they didn't just open. They only get in because they've been open for over a year, and they proved that they were committed to craft beer, and they really do a great job. So they've kind of gotten through all their opening issues, but let's pretend you just opened. You know, so ask them some questions about when he opened, some of the struggles.
Well, I'm trying to open the new one now, so I'm in the midst of it again.
I gave him a card, so he can.
So that's done with the fish. So your last thing, you've got this new T-shirt. What is this? It's like some horny animal.
It's a brew horn.
Sloop, right? What's that, a brew horn?
That's definitely a horny animal.
The idea is, on the consumer end, again, the individual perspective on craft beer is, taste is an individual experience to me. When you Google a beer, the first thing you get is, you know, the scoring websites. So This app will help you. You're going to build a taste profile in the app. And then when you come into Roberta's, you see a tap, a beer on the tap board. You put it in. It's going to compare that beer to your taste profile that's already in the app. And it's going to tell you how well that beer matches your taste profile.
But why can't you just ask the bartender?
Well, this is actually one of the conversations that's going on with Brewhorn is there's a retailer who feels like this might take away their job. But what it's really geared toward newer consumers, getting them over the hump. It gives them a tool to, you know, when they come into a bar or a retail place, they're kind of overwhelmed by the selection. So this gives them a tool to kind of break down that barrier for themselves. And I actually gave it a presentation, a demo last weekend to 140 beer bloggers in Boston. And the reception
at the Beer Bloggers Conference.
Beer Bloggers Conference. Reception was great.
I heard that was really good.
Yeah.
A lot of people we know were there. So, Steve, you're at Owl Farm, you guys talk. Would you use something like this to help have your customers negotiate your 28 taps, which to me sounds like a lot. That's a lot of
28,
taps.
28, let me be honest, 28 taps is a lot. I personally probably wouldn't use Beer Horn. My bartenders wouldn't use Beer Horn, but I think a lot of customers would. I think that when you walk into a beer bar like the Owl Farm and there's 28 taps, 20 specialty bottles, and it's a very intimidating beer list. Now, personally, myself, and I think all my bartenders are very friendly, and we're very happy to help you out, and we'll do the best we can. But not every person who walks into a bar is comfortable just asking a bunch of questions off the bat. Sure. I wish that they were, but they're not. And for those people, myself included, but before I worked in the beer world, I was a big beer nerd, but bartenders are kind of intimidating people. They're behind the bar. They control the stuff that makes you happy, and you have to give them money. And that's a very intimidating situation. And it takes, I feel like, a very special bartender to make an immediate rapport with a customer. And that's probably where this app comes in. Mm-hmm. I will say, if you have a bartender who can make that immediate rapport, you got a very special bartender, and you should invest in them as much as you can if you're a bar owner.
Awesome. All right, hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
This one's called My Used to Be by Pamela Royal on the heritageradionetwork.org.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We just got back from Cooperstown, and Belgium comes to Cooperstown, Omegang. Long trip, long drive, a lot of good friends up there. And I'll give a shout-out, thank you to greatbrewers.com. They just re-upped. This will be their, I think, going on, is it fourth year of sponsoring Beer Sessions Radio? Thanks to Chris Sheehan, who's the big guy there at Union Beer in Brooklyn. All right, and we got an interesting cast of characters here tonight. Owl Farms in town. We got the new Good Brew Seal Bars. They're representing that. Ben Wiley and Steve, the manager. We got a cool new nano brewery, which everyone seems to know the term nano brewery. I was talking to someone in Beacon. We're doing a festival this Saturday, Hudson Rising in Beacon on Sunday, and they said, "Yes, Sloop's going to be there." We hear that's a nano brewery. So that term's been getting around, and we've got Joe Callender, the craft beer coach, and he's got a new app coming out. But of interest, we received an email recently from a gentleman named TJ Hostbotter, who has no relation to the Hostbotter bar, but it's Hostbotter. Okay. And he basically wanted to tell me that I am writing to you to tell you about my beer scavenger hunt. And my fiance and I are planning our wedding to be held August 31st in Elizaville, New York. It's a summer camp. Jamie and I are on a string shoe budget, but are excited for what we hope to be a fantastic wedding weekend. We need to bring in our own beer, and so we're on a scavenger hunt for the best ale and lagers at the best price, of course. Here is our story. We met at SUNY Purchase in a photography class. How old are you guys? TJ?
I'm 34.
You're 34. You met at SUNY Purchase in a photography class. All right. So you're both creative, and we know a lot of creative folks. And we have the tremendous blessings of tapping our creative peers to tackle elements and thereby bring costs down. So what do you guys want? We do not know any brewers. What the F? So since we are not having a traditional wedding, we don't need to spend the time and money on first dance classes. So you're on a beer scavenger. So the whole thing, you guys are getting married, and part of that is you're having a beer scavenger hunt. And you said you hit up Single Cut, Rushing Duck, Peekskill, Gilded Otter, Yonkers Brewing, Captain Lawrence, and Broken Brewing. Next week, off to Defiant. So Jamie and TJ, welcome to the show. It's a cool story, and thanks for reaching out. So tell us about your beer scavenger hunt. I think Jamie's ready to talk, too.
Oh, am I?
Sounds like it.
Well, basically, I mean, what has made this really fun is that it's actually made our wedding planning process a lot more fun than it could have been. So we've been taking time to go. We're very interested in local food, local beer, and very kind of crafty kind of things. So I think finding a really awesome local beer that's drinkable for, you know, over 150 guests has been a kind of fun experience to search for that.
So what are you looking for? Are you looking for one beer or for like a whole beer tasting?
I think we need a selection of ales and lagers because I have Polish and Czech blood, so I know my Ohio family wants lager and pilsner, and Jamie's Irish clan will expect some ales for sure.
All right. What's the scavenger hunt about? Like, you're just trying to find some beers? Or are you actually going to go around to breweries?
We've been going to breweries and tastings. We were at one of the Hudson Risings down in Yonkers. It's been a rewarding experience because we're also engaging with the brewers. So, in essence, we're developing, a brief relationship with these individuals. And, kind of tasting the fruits of their efforts. And
so you want Sloop to be at your wedding?
Hell yeah.
It's very possible. Yeah.
They could bring you like two bottles if you want. Yeah. That's all they have.
Yeah, we're drinking the last bottle right now.
Yeah. Or maybe you should ask Ben. I would say you should ask Ben because I bet Ben has a lot of cool bottles. What are some cool bottles that you would, I bet you could select. Ben, why don't you pick the beers for their wedding?
What would you pick for them? I was just going to say, you should ask Steven that question.
Good boss. Steven, welcome to the club.
No, for a wedding, an extreme crowd pleaser that I would start with is also local. It's probably Peekskill Hop Common, which is their take on a steam beer. So like fairly hoppy, but also still malty and balanced. I'd probably start with that. For the champagne section, if you wanted like a beer to champagne, McKellar Nelson Salvin Brut, which is single hopped with Nelson Salvin beer de Champenois. So it's a beer, with champagne yeast, bottled like champagne, highly carbonated, also just incredibly delicious.
It sounds amazing. You'll have to write that down
for us. You should check out that one. Another crowd pleaser, it's also local, I would say Carton Red Rye. Hoppy red beer, not unlike the Red Sea from Sloop Brewing, and I'd definitely check that out.
All right.
Awesome, thanks.
And Joe, any suggestions for their wedding beer scavenger hunt?
I was just thinking of Carton Boat Beer, as far as like a general ale across the board. It's been well received in New Jersey.
And how many beers can you have at a wedding? This is a good conversation. I mean, we did a wedding last year, outdoor wedding in New Jersey, and we brought actually our friend Jonathan. He owns Bobolink Dairy and Farmhouse, and his buddy has the Ships Inn in Milford, New Jersey. And we pretty much just had growlers of Ships Inn beer, fresh from their taps. There's a lot of ways to do it, but at some point, I think that it's pretty exciting. And thanks for reaching out to us, guys. Awesome, rock on, Ben.
I'm sorry, I just want to say, Jonathan from Bobolink. I did a weekend internship there maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and I spent the weekend on the farm and did all the cheese, like, baking of the bread with them and everything. Just wanted that.
You know, Ben, you're like part of my argument that everyone owns a good beer bar knows something about food.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I came at it from food before beer, absolutely.
Yeah, like, what did you do? You were a pastry chef?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went to ICE for the pastry program. Then I worked at Del Posto when they opened, which, coincidentally, Stephen and his wife just went there for lunch today. Yeah, and then, anyway, through baking bread and pastries and stuff, I got into fermentation and then realized beer was pretty much just liquid bread. And a couple years later, or a few years later, here we are.
And a lot of the interviews I do with the brewers, a lot of their motivation comes from food. They go out and Yepa and Mikkel. I brought some night shift beer. I interviewed Rob Burns, who's one of the co-founders, and they all get their inspiration from going out to dinner, tasting something new, and how could this be a beer?
Let's try the night shift. So where's that from? It's from Massachusetts,
Everett,
right?
Mass, which is a suburb of Boston. They've been on fire. They have a whole series of Berliner Weisses where this one is the Everweiss, which is a strawberry.
So Massachusetts is becoming like they're this quietly having all these great new small breweries. We met the guys from Mystic not too long ago, and they're in Chelsea. And yeah, just a couple years ago, I think that Boston, I'm going to say it on air, Boston was behind, but now there seems to be a great new beer scene there. Has anyone been to Boston besides you recently? Because it's. It's cool. Well, there's Mystic in Chelsea, and now there's these guys from Everett. So
this one's strawberry, kiwi, and hibiscus.
I'm from Massachusetts. Hibiscus. That's why I care.
They have a lemongrass Berliner Weiss. They have a blueberry that's coming out later this year, and they have a cranberry.
So talking about beer scavenger hunts, Joe, do you travel a lot? I mean, is that how you get your beer?
I've been traveling a lot to get Craft Beer Coach out there. I've been going to pretty much every festival I can, and just talking to brewers. People always ask me, how do I get these interviews? I just meet them, and I just ask.
And I still haven't done an interview with you. That's why I wanted you to come, because I want you to interview the guys that we know. I want you to interview Steve from Owl Farm, and I want you to interview the guys from Sloop.
Yeah.
I think these guys have stories.
Yeah, I would like to expand it beyond brewers. There's more to the retailers, I love their story with the scavenger hunt, so I've already... maybe we'll get their story after the fact and see what the whole journey. It's about.
I'm not sure what the scavenger hunt is, TJ. So it's like you guys, you're just picking beers, or you're actually like.
Yeah, because at the camp we have to bring in everything, and that includes the food, the beer, the booze, and so since beer and food are so important to us, that we're basically curating the event. We're artists, so we're kind of thinking of it as a curation. And
but who's doing the scavenger hunt? You guys?
The two of us
are
basically going a 50-mile radius. So, we're keeping it local because of, just time and we have other details to plan. But so we're seeking out the beer.
But are you going to the breweries, or are you just going anywhere?
Yeah, like when I sent you that email, that was right before we went to Defiant. So that weekend, we drove out to Pearl River and went to Defiant, to the home base, and drank a lot of their selection that weekend. And we're going straight to the home base, straight to the brewers, and tasting everything they got.
Well, congratulations to you guys. Sounds like a great little marriage you're going to have there. All right. Visiting breweries. And a lot of people have been talking about that. It's this like kind of tourism, visiting breweries. Ben, have you been to a lot of breweries?
Well, actually, I was going to say I have a recommendation for you guys. You didn't list Barrier Brewing in the people you've contacted. They're out in Far Rockaway or East Rockaway or something like that. But my brother and partner and I just took a whole bunch of our employees, and we went out there for a day and made our own beer. Bargrate Harry, our first place, we're coming up on our 6-year anniversary on August 17th. So we joined up with Barrier and we brewed a custom beer, a Berliner Weiss for the anniversary. But the point of this story is just that they're really cool guys, really small operation, real hands-on. Craig Freimark is one of the head guys, and we spent the day with him. And as far as like the life coaching, kind of your app idea, really personable guy, great story, passion and heart, and just like talking to you guys. Just somebody you could easily spend a day with, or email and contact, and I'm sure he'd invite you up.
I have talked to them about doing an interview, because they did the whole bounce back from Hurricane Sandy was quite a story.
No, it's true, man. Well, that's great. That's a great lead. Now let's talk about the beer. So you brought from Everett, Mass, a Berliner Weiss, and then Justin from Sloop, you guys also brought a Berliner Weiss. So I have both in my two glasses. Does everyone else have both?
Cause no.
These are like totally two different beers. They both say Berliner Weisse. Let's talk about style for a minute. So the one that Joe brought is like, you know, it's very salty, a little more assertive, and yours is kind of like a soft sour.
Yes, yes.
So how do you call that a Berliner Weisse? And we had the new Simple Sour from Peekskill last week. It was more like kind of straight on, like soury Berliner Weisse.
Well, the Berliner Weisse style obviously originated in Berlin. I guess the word has it that the German, I guess they were nomads at that point, picked up some souring technique from the Flanders region in Belgium, and thus became, when they settled near Berlin, current day Berlin, is that became the Berliner Weisse style. Our take on it is traditionally in Germany, it's served with Woodruff or some sort of raspberry syrup. We chose to use peaches. In Germany, they actually put the syrup in right at the bar after they pour the sour beer. So ours actually comes pre-fruited in the bottle, fermented with peaches. So,
I mean, we've always heard that, like in Michael Jackson's great books, that I was like, yeah, Berliner Weisse, and Steve, jump in on this too. You know, you'd always see them adding the syrups, but I thought that was because the Berliner Weisses were flawed or too sour. We've had a lot of really good Berliner Weisses that no one has ever talked about adding syrups to. So what do you think, Steve? You think that's just an outdated...
I think it's
like putting, you know, flavored syrup into your cappuccino or something that's a little dated?
I think it's a very traditional thing that people can keep up if they want. I think it's absolutely not necessary. Recently, we actually had a little mini Berliner Weisse festival a month ago. We featured three Berliner Weisses, Fritz Breum 1809, which is spectacular. The Bayerischer Bahnhof Berliner Weisse with the addition of oats, which gives it just an incredible mouthfeel. And then we also had a Carton Monkey Chase the Weasel, which is a Berliner Weisse brewed with mulberries. And when you get into that, like we have here a Berliner Weisse with strawberries, a Berliner Weisse with mulberries, that kind of negates the whole adding syrups from the top. You take a flavoring, you add it, it's delicious. The strawberry one's delicious, and the peach is also insanely good. Another really good peach Berliner Weisse is from Perennial Brewing in St. Louis, if you've had that one.
Yeah,
I've
had that one.
Something about the sour wheat mash, you know, the lacto, and you add peaches to that, goes extremely well, I guess, in Germany and then also in the U.S. Yeah.
And Justin?
Yeah, well, that's you know, what we're really going for. We want people to experience... When I describe this beer to people, I tell them not even to think... Don't think of beer. Think of something completely different that you haven't experienced before. And forget it's beer. It's not going to taste hoppy. It's not going to taste malty. It's just going to taste... You know, you get sweetness, peach in the nose up front, and then you get, you know, a little bit of tartness at the back end. Low ABV, very refreshing.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the adding fruit to Berliner Weisses and or adding syrups rather. I mean, I think it's one of those ironies that, you know, back in the day, these were beers that were brewed and they were sour probably because they had to be and it wasn't by choice, and to make it more palatable to all the people at the festival or whatever, you know, they probably put sour in, and it's a very kind of practical thing to do just to make it more drinkable to everybody. And then of course, you know, people like us have all come at it from a kind of artisanal perspective where we're like, well, wait, let's delve deeper into that. And I think you see that in a lot of food culture today too. You know, bitter coffee that doesn't need to be sweetened anymore. You know, I imagine that's the history of it. But this one I'm drinking now, this is terrific. It's not really.
But on the flip side of actually adding syrups to Berliner Weisses, the beer that Bargrade Harry brewed last week at Barrier Brewing is a Berliner Weisse, which will be available at all three of the bars that these guys own. It's for Bargrade Harry's 6th anniversary. And we're actually sampling out some syrups to add to it this Friday. So, and it's a more traditional Berliner Weisse without flavors. And then the Barrier guys made their own syrups. We're going to taste around this Friday and see how that goes.
Nice. All right. Hey, we're taking a short break. We've got a lot more to talk about here on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll see you in a few minutes. All right. Cheers.
You're listening to Heart on the Line by Pamela Royal on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio at the Heritage Radio Network. Today's podcast is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. At GreatBrewers.com, it's all about the brewers. So Joe from Craft Beer Coach was weighing in on Berliner Weisses and fruit.
No, I was just saying that when I interviewed Rob Burns of Night Shift, he was telling me how they order boxes of produce. So the strawberry kiwi Berliner Weiss that we're having right now is actually whole produce. And they will have sessions where they'll sit in a brewery and just cut up the produce for hours. I also have the Viva Habanero, which is a habanero ale. And they sit there and they cut up the habanero peppers.
Let's taste that. Come on. And then Justin from Sloop. Wait, Justin from Sloop. So tell us, but you have a different approach to have your peach Berliner Weiss.
Well, it's something that we wanted to offer year-round. And we use a puree rather than the whole fruit. Number one, it's a lot more labor. But at the same time, we wanted a little more consistency of our fruit. And we wanted to be able to offer something that tasted fresh and not like frozen peaches that were sitting in the freezer in the middle of December. So we wanted to go with definitely just using something a little more consistent.
Now, one thing like with Sloop, I mean, you guys are so small. You're kind of doing batch by batch. Are you bottling beer too?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you sell at the farmer's market?
Exactly. We sell them the farmer's market and retail stores. And we also sell kegs to Dutchess.
So being so small, that's kind of unusual that you actually have. Do you bottle by hand each bottle?
Yes, it's me and him that do
so
it.
So you do it. Yeah.
It's handcrafted.
And do your sons help out yet?
In about a month.
Yeah. you need more kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you bottle? Do you have like a... Is it old school?
It goes from a bright tank straight into a four counter pressure fillers in series. So every counter pressure has a switch on it. One side is CO2 and one side is beer. So every bottle gets flushed and then just gets filled from the bottom up under pressure, and then it gets capped with just a regular capper.
So
you just fill four at a time, and it's roughly
four
about
at a time. Okay.
It's I would say what, an hour a barrel maybe.
Roughly
about an hour a barrel to do.
So like on Sunday when you're at the farmer's market in Beacon, how many bottles will you bring?
I probably six cases.
How much time does that take you to bottle?
At an hour, six cases. It's what is that? Maybe a half hour or something like that. Yeah.
You guys are machines over here.
Are you doing 750s?
No, we will. Our next beer is a it's called the Black Raz. It's another sour beer with raspberries, but it's black in color and aged on oak for a while. And that one's going to be in 750s.
Let me ask you, Steve, so at Owl Farm, so grab the mic.
Yeah.
You know, I don't usually ask how beers are made and all the techniques. I like to taste them, and I feel like I have a palate. I kind of know, but I really don't. Do you ever get into that when you're buying beers? Do you have a short list of questions you'll ask?
I'm an avid home brewer. I'm very interested in also how beers are made. I'm also interested in the different techniques and cloning beers. A little bit ago, the first beer that I opened up that we tasted is a main beer, a Nugna, or Nonya, or however you want to pronounce it, collaboration.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Collaboration time number three, which I brought because we're having a main beer and Allagash event a week from today. And that was a hoppy rye saison, a rye pale ale. It kind of rides the line. But I'm fascinated in how brewers make their beers, and then also how they work with one another. The beer that I just poured, I just got this in a couple days ago, McKellar Arch Havad, which is an Orval clone. I don't know if I should say that out loud, but it's an Orval clone. And so that's another fascinating thing. You know, so Orval, like one of the best beers in the world, with, you know, everyone steals their yeast and makes their own thing. So we have a malt bill and a yeast bill that's similar to Orval, and that's very fascinating for me. And that when I order beer, I always have that in the back of my mind. Yeah,
good man. I'm really impressed with you. And I'm glad that Ben brought you up because
he doesn't like to share too often. But he brought me up.
Yeah, we know the master.
I'm taking
behind.
All job offers.
You're like Doc. Was it the Wizard of Oz? Does anybody remember that movie? I'm so old. And then my birthday is August 17th.
What's the Wizard
of
Oz? I've never heard of that.
You know, it's one of those crazy things that maybe at these guys' wedding they might want to, I don't know. Let's give everybody a toast. This is like an eclectic this is again, once again, we see how diverse this world of beer is. And, but still, you know, it's always great to. I love the brewers as much as I do the guys behind the scenes like Steve and Ben who bring those beers to the consumer. And I actually have a lot of good customers who will say, you know, when I listen to the show, I actually really want to know the really good bars to go to. And hopefully that's one of the things that we're doing, and that's why we're really behind the Good Beer Seal, because we do try every year. We've got a group of writers and people that sit in and say, you know, these are the places that are small, independently owned, that really represent, you know, the small craft breweries the way that they should be. And then the same for you guys. It's like, that's why we want to get Sloop into the city, because, you know, you're so small, and I'm sure you don't. What we're finding, like even our buddies Crossroads up in Athens, New York, and there's a lot of small breweries that really almost all their production is being sold locally. And I think that's beautiful, and I almost feel like that's the future of beer, where, you know, that's going to be each little region's going to have their small brewery. And if you open that small brewery, you're going to have this nice little business for a while. And I think that we're just kind of piecing back together what was in America, yeah, you know, before Prohibition and all that. Mm-hmm. Ben's like, I got to say something.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, we're coming full circle, you know, in a lot of ways, like the genres of beer that are popular now, sours coming back, and like what we've drank today, you know, just coming full circle. And it's the same thing with the small breweries are big for a while. Then, you know, obviously people... economies of scale, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, you know, the artisans come back, and now we make them small again, and now nano breweries are the big, you know, kind of the next trend or whatever. So I just like, you know, it's all coming.
No,
full
I like
circle.
What you guys are doing. I mean, so in my mind, appreciate you guys are Sloop Brewing. You're from Poughkeepsie, New York, mm-hmm, and that you are the pride of the Beacon Farmers Market.
Yes.
You know, and do they sell any other beers besides you guys?
They do not.
Yeah, they're very loyal. So it's like you guys have this little mini. So that's one market that you guys have, and there's so many markets like that. So to all you guys out there, you know, homebrewers on the verge of going pro, do it. Do it and do it small and, you know, capture your local market, and we'll all be friends, all right? So, hey, I think we're going to wind down. Let's just say I'd like to thank our sponsors at GreatBrewers.com who have helped bring this podcast to you tonight. And Good Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Brew Seal. You can find us on Facebook, and you can always reach us on Twitter at @beer_sessions. If you like this podcast, give us a good review on iTunes. We've got a long lineup here. Let's just go through and say thanks, everybody. Say your name and say what you do.
Ben Wiley, representing Bar Great Harry, Mission Dolores, and the L Farm.
All right.
I'm Jamie. I'm on a wedding beer scavenger hunt.
TJ Hospodar, I'm allowed to marry Jamie McGovern.
I think so. What do you think, guys? Yeah?
Congratulations.
Yeah, you have to visit like five more breweries or it's not happening. All right.
I'm Steven. I'm the general manager of the Owl Farm.
I'm Joe Callender, the creator of the Craft Beer Coach blog. I'll be interviewing Sam Caligione next month.
And what's your new app?
Also, Brewhorn, the beer tasting app. It's about your personal taste preferences. If you sign up at brewhorn.com, you will have a chance to participate in some beta testing. So I recommend
with the horny with beer the,
with
animal.
The, yeah, right. With the horny ram.
And our buddies from up on the Hudson Valley.
I'm Justin Taylor. I'm the head brewer and owner of Sloop Brewing.
I'm Adam Watson, the other owner of Sloop Brewing.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out, guys. We have a lot going on. And also, we got August 11th, we got the HRN Hawaiian Barbecue. So come on out to Roberta's. You're going to have some great food. And if you're up in the Hudson Valley, join us in Beacon on Sunday at HudsonRising.com. You can taste Sloop's, Newberg, maybe Peekskill, Naked Flock Cider, and some Finger Lakes wines. All right. Thanks to Joe, Ben, Steve, and Adam, and all the rest, and TJ for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and engineer Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.